It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we take a look at the future of baseball as MLB owners gather to elect a new commissioner.
Ira Glass kicked up a little dust recently when he dissed Shakespeare on Twitter after seeing Shakespeare in the park, writing, "John Lithgow as Lear tonight. Amazing. Shakespeare, not good. No stakes, not relatable. I realize I'm thinking, Shakespeare sucks." Those are the words of Ira Glass on Twitter.
And we weren't surprised to hear that here on Central Time. We had Glass on the show last August when he had this to say.
"The plot of Hamlet, I don't think, could be on an episode of This American Life because there's no one to relate to. Because I feel like we're looking for stories that are more emotional."
So the question's out there via Ira Glass: does Shakespeare suck? By that, we mean, is his work unemotional, unrelatable, as Ira Glass says? Are there legions of you out there who agree but have been too ashamed to say so? And we want to hear from you on this one right away. Do you secretly hate Shakespeare? If so, why? Do you think it's okay to admit it out loud or on Twitter that you think Shakespeare sucks? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. 1234, or post now on the Central Time Facebook page.
Joining us now to consider the argument is Holger Seim. He's a professor of English and theater at the University of Toronto. He's a devoted blogger and often writes about the theater of Shakespeare and his contemporaries. Holger, welcome to Central Time.
Hello.
So a week or two ago, as we just said, a lot of people kind of went nuts when Ira Glass tweeted that he thinks Shakespeare sucks. He backed it up. It wasn't just a throw-off comment. It was also the case he was making that he found it unrelatable and unemotional. What was your first thought when you heard about that?
Well, I mean, it struck me that there are really three different arguments that Ira Glass's tweet, as short as it was, sort of threw up, right? That A, Shakespeare is unrelatable, B, unemotional, and three, that therefore Shakespeare sucks. I think, you know, the question whether Shakespeare sucks is kind of, that's up to each individual reader and audience member to decide. Professional reasons don't think so, but the question of whether an author or that author's work is bad because it's not relatable, whatever that means, or because it's not emotional, whatever that means, I think that's actually more problematic and something worth discussing.
Well, let's take the claim unrelatable. Now, you wrote a piece about this on your blog, and what you kind of say is, well, yeah, he is unrelatable, but that's sort of the point. Do you want to take it from there?
Sure. So I think Ira Glass's point and sort of the idea of people who say things like that, the idea is presumably that because Shakespeare is 400 years old, Shakespeare's works are now no longer, they don't speak to us anymore because we don't live like that, like people 400 years ago anymore. The point I made in my blog post was that, well, actually, I don't think Shakespeare or Shakespeare's characters would have been more relatable to his contemporaries than they are to us, since Shakespeare sort of, by and large, wrote about characters that weren't of the same social status as members of his audience, or not even of the same historical period. Shakespeare wrote a lot of plays set in ancient antiquity or in ancient Britain. King Lear, the play that set off Ira's Herglass's tweet, is set in ancient Britain. He's not writing about contemporaries. He's not writing about commoners. He's writing about kings and dukes and earls. So there's a kind of distance between the audience and the characters in the way the plays are built. So this notion that fictional characters should be exactly like us, which is, I think, sort of what informs the concept of relatability, which is a very recent concept, that's a notion that's quite alien to Shakespeare, but it's also a notion that's quite alien to a lot of classical literature before the 19th century.
And let's go to our phone lines now. We've got Eddie with us from Viroqua. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, good afternoon. Great topic. I think that Shakespeare is very approachable, especially to younger people. I teach it. at the high school level have in the past. And I found when you propose the question to them and actually give them the information and let them make the critical thinking questions themselves, for instance, telling them that the gentleman from Stratford, you know, his daughters were illiterate, that he didn't leave any books in his will, you know, you sort of propose a mystery to them and say, maybe this guy wasn't the guy who wrote it, and a larger question emerges, they suddenly become very, very interested in the works. Plus, it gives them a context biographically to look at the plays differently through a different lens.
Okay, so looking at the historical mysteries that are sort of a bigger context within a context there. What do you say to that, Holger?
Well, I mean, they're kind of factual issues with that. I mean, we don't actually have any evidence that Shakespeare's daughters were illiterate. There are signatures that survive. The fact that Shakespeare doesn't leave very many items in his will at all. There was an inventory that's lost, so he probably owned books. They're just not listed in the will. So there's something that the mystery of Shakespeare's biography, I don't think, is actually the most productive way into the plays. However, what the gentleman just said, they used the word approachable, and I think that's a much more useful term than the term relatable. And I would agree that Shakespeare, obviously, as with any older author and as with any oldest author's works, we need students, high school students, any reader needs information, needs footnotes, needs cultural background information to find a way into those texts. But they can, that way exists, and if you walk it, I think there are many rewards there. But they're not the rewards of relatability. I don't think the point of reading Shakespeare or any great classical author is to find yourself there. I think the point is to find a rich, strange world of characters that are quite unlike us in many ways there.
And on the other hand, though, we do hear, I mean, I've heard all the time, people making the claim that Shakespeare is universal, and that's one of the reasons that directors often say that you can place Shakespeare in any period of time, from modern day to the original, and that seems to be sort of a given when you consider Shakespeare. So doesn't that mean that Shakespeare is supposed to be full of people who stand in for every man, for everyone?
See, I think that's a misunderstanding. I do think there is something, and people have written about this, critics have written about this for a long time, there is something about Shakespeare's plays and their characters that is unusually open to interpretation, or less certain than many other authors' works. The sort of exactly what the point of view of a particular play by Shakespeare is actually very hard to pin down. So to that extent, they're plays that remain very open to interpretation and that remain very open to different generation after generation from different and different angles. And that is a quality that is somewhat rare, and it's something that Shakespeare apparently was very good at. But I don't think it's because the people in the plays are everyman characters. I think it is something about the density of the language. It's something about the slipperiness of the ideas and the ideological positions. It's something about the richness of the themes that Shakespeare is interested in. But I don't think universality is a problem, right? Because universality implies that the meanings don't change. And I don't think that's the case. I think the way the plays were read 400 years ago is probably very different from the way they're read now, and it's very different from the way they're read here. Right now is very different from the way, say, they would read to an African audience or an audience in Soviet Russia, in the Soviet Union, or in 18th century Britain. That changes. It just sort of happens to be the case that mm-hmm. Shakespeare's plays are very good at reading in different ways to different audiences over and over again.
Let's go back to the phones now. We've got Sean joining us in Kenosha. Hi, Sean.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to make a comment. I just recently read Hamlet, and I read Shakespeare in high school, and now I'm an older adult, and I loved it. And I was telling coworkers that I read Hamlet, and they were telling me that, oh, you're not supposed to read Shakespeare, you're supposed to see it on stage, and blah, blah, blah. But I told them my kids just recently have become infatuated with The Lion King, which is Hamlet.
Uh-huh.
You know, your uncle kills the father and marries the mother, and they love it. So that's my comment.
Right. Well, thank you for that. And actually, that's what occasioned our comment with Ira. We were talking about The Lion King initially and how it was essentially Hamlet, and that didn't hold water either for him. And just, Holger, before you jump in here, we did get a comment on Facebook that sort of dovetails nicely with Sean's. Joe said, reading Shakespeare kind of sucks, but seeing Shakespeare play is mind-blowing, especially with a good acting company like APT in Spring Green, Wisconsin. So a couple different takes on reading Shakespeare versus seeing it.
Yeah, I think, well, that's actually something that academic Shakespeareans also debate. It's one of the great questions of our field, whether Shakespeare is, whether we should read Shakespeare or study productions of Shakespeare. I'm sort of agnostic on that. I think Shakespeare is an author that functions very differently on stage than on the page, but I think Shakespeare is as much of a poet as he is a playwright. So I would advocate for the value of reading Shakespeare. I think there is a kind of richness of language that flies past you on stage. There's more in Shakespeare than any one production can realize. I mean, that's true for most plays, but it's particularly true for plays as poetically rich as Shakespeare's. But it's certainly also the case that most of Shakespeare's works remain theatrically powerful. Now, that has something to do with the fact that Shakespeare, as a playwright, has been enormously influential, and that has sort of stuck around in the theatrical canon of most Western theater cultures. So there's something, there's a kind of familiarity to the form there that is lost with a lot of other plays. I mean, it's much harder, I think, to make, a classical tragedy, so a tragedy from classical antiquity, Euripides, Sophocles, and so on, which are in many ways just as important and great works of dramatic literature as Shakespeare's plays. It's much harder to make those work for a modern audience because their form is slightly stranger. It's not the form we're used to. Characters don't work the same way, speeches don't work the same way, dialogue doesn't work the same way, characterization doesn't, and so on. So there's something about the way Shakespeare constructed his plays that had an enormous influence on the way Western drama has been written since then. And I think that helps to keep Shakespeare alive on stage in a way that a lot of other playwrights that didn't have the same influence and aren't part of the theatrical DNA of contemporary drama in the same way. So those playwrights who aren't like that have more of a problem surviving on the modern stage.
And we leave it there, Holger. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Holger Syme, a professor of English and theater at the University of Toronto. We're talking about Ira Glass's recent tweet that Shakespeare sucks. And we want to know what you think about this. Is he being honest about something you've considered before? Or do you think he's completely all wet with that? You can let us know on the Central Time Facebook page.